This is Susan V. Brock of Telluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking with Toshiko Akiyoshi. Toshiko is the bebop pianist who is also a world-renowned composer and arranger. She's coming to town for the weekend of the 34th Annual Telluride Jazz Celebration as the guest of honor. Toshiko, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure.
So once you began playing piano as a young girl, was there ever any doubt in your mind that you would pursue a career in music, or did you have other ideas?
No, I just simply loved to play piano. I started when I was the age of 7. I have no idea that I would become a jazz pianist.
Yes, that was my next question. When did jazz enter the picture?
When World War II was ended. You know, I was born in Manchuria, today China, Liaoning province. And when war was ended, all family has to go back to Japan. And my father could no longer furnish me the piano, so I took a job in dance hall. That's when I learned, first time I heard the jazz music. It was Teddy Wilson's Sweet Lorraine. It was a 78 speed, you know, old record. And that's when I heard, I said, I'd like to play just like that.
When you were playing in as a young girl for money, where were you located? Were you in Tokyo? Where in Japan?
No, this was Beppu City. It's in the Kyushu Island, which is the south of Japan.
I see. When you formed your very first band in Japan in 1952, were there any other women making musical waves in your home country, or
yeah,
were you always bucking the waves?
Okay, if I may correct, I always thought that the band would be more than 12, 13 people.
Mm-hmm.
I always deal with it, but the largest I had was a quintet, and in 53 I had a quartet. That time I was in Tokyo. But I never, you know, I forgot your question. What was your question?
It was, were you the only woman heading up a quintet or a quartet in your country? Oh, you know, especially
yes.
A jazz quartet.
As far as leading any kind of group would be, I was the only one. But there were a couple other female pianists who was playing with a side woman as a group.
Okay. Okay. Why did you decide to move to the U.S.?
Well, actually, I was, you know, jazz is a kind of social art. If you are playing with better player, you become a better player. And when I was in Japan, all those days, all I could learn a tune, you know, there's no book or anything, it wasn't available those days. And then I had to learn tunes, music, the repertoire, to start trying to get familiar with the language was from a record. And all these great musicians I've listened to, I really wanted to be able to play with them. And I had, in 1953, the Norman Granz's group came to Japan. Among them was Oscar Peterson. And he came to here when I was playing at the club. And with his recommendation, Norman Granz recorded me in 1953 with Oscar Peterson's rhythm section. And that record brought me to the United States. I received a scholarship from Berklee School of Music. Those days, that place was about 340 students or so. And those days, not like today, you could not come to the United States unless you had invitation from either school or business contract. So I must say I was very lucky. So when I came here, I had a great opportunity to play with all these great musicians who I used to listen to records.
Wonderful. And who were some of the great musicians in your young life?
Dizzy Gillespie to start with. Well, I think it was Max Roach had a great group. It was the Clifford Brown, Sonny Rollins was there. Myers had a classic quintet. Even Duke Ellington's band let me sit in with the band.
Wow.
I came very good time. As I said, I came to this country in 1956, which is everything was open. Today, the music is pretty more like a presentation, productionized, and it's hard to sit in. But those days are much more open. If you know their repertoire, which I did, you can always sit in and they will let you sit in. And another thing that was very lucky for me was the clubs, like such as the New York clubs or Boston. Traditionally, they always had two groups. Today is one group. So when the original Birdland, the manager's name was Oscar Goodstein, he hired me, my trio, very often, opposite of sometimes a Count Basie's band, sometimes Miles Davis's group, sometimes the Max group. So if it was a single, it's only single group like today, I wouldn't probably had a prayer, but because I was on the front line. But I consider myself very, very lucky. And can you imagine the big band like a Basie's band or Duke's band actually played in club for 2 weeks? You can't think that today.
Absolutely. How did you meet your husband, Lou Tobacken?
I met him in New York. There's a Half Note, the old Half Note. There was a Clark Terry had a big band. He used to play Weekend. And she was playing with a band. And I was asked to serve for, there was a regular pianist, Don Friedman, had another job. And I was asked to sub for him. That's how I met him.
I see. And was it love at first sight?
Pardon? Well, I would say that. I was in the midst of producing my town hall concert, and I was looking for a tenor player. And so that, well, I thought, it was, oh, that's it. I never heard him play, but he was a fantastic player. It was very, I think she was about 26 years old at that time. Anyway, that's how I met him. Basically, I offered him the job, and which he accepted, but he didn't take it. He went to the St. John's and Mel Lewis band for 1 week tour. But then I had some job that requires a home player, and then I start to getting to know him as a person. And it took about a couple of years to get married.
Okay, thank you. By the time you moved to L.A., which was around 1972, the feminist movement was in full swing in the U.S., but nevertheless, it was difficult, I think, pulling a band together as a female band leader. Is that true?
I think it's very yes and no. In other words, it has nothing to do with maybe female. That a long time ago, Mary Lou, in an interview, Mary Lou Williams said she feels more easy to deal with a man than a woman. It's simply because there wasn't not enough women to, you know, there wasn't no woman was a especially home player. Wasn't active in those days. And so I think is my case is more than that is because my heritage. Mm-hmm. If you don't know me, and some Japanese woman, what, a 5'1" woman stand up to you, and I said, I'm a jazz player. And you said, really? You know? And Lou always said, I'm a demographically challenged. It's always like that. The one thing about the jazz musician, it is not like other field of people. This is included jazz journalists. They are not drives, or they are not rammed by Madison Avenue and other advertisement. Jazz musicians respect you if you can produce, and they do not respect you if you can't produce. It's just that. So took me a little long to get their confidence, but I didn't have much problem. I think due to Lou, the Supremo player, has been there, I think it was very, very, very helpful.
Right. You've won all kinds of awards over the years, Grammy nominations, Downbeat polls, for your original compositions. Could you talk about the process of writing? Is it something that you do every day and have done every day, or do you just write when the inspiration comes to you?
I think when I had a large ensemble, that is, I discontinued in 2003, but you have to write every day. And also, inspiration doesn't come sleep all day. You have to really try to hear something. The writing process is depends on the people. I don't consider myself professional, because a professional mean is you're higher, you're right for hire, which I don't do that. I don't do the commercial work. I only write for my old band. That's what I used to do. And takes long time, long process. You have to hear first. If you are a composer, you're the first listener. So as a listener, you have to satisfy with what you have done. So you work very slow process, and as you have to try to hear. That's the most important part. And so my process is very, very slow. Some people write for 2 hours, but it sounds like written in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So the difference between playing, jazz playing, and writing is writing, you can take time. And if you don't like it, you can always fix it. Now, playing, you can't do that. Playing, you're playing, and said, oh, my God, why did it do that for? And it's gone.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Do you still tour with your music all over the world?
Yes, I feel grateful, and I feel very fortunate and rewarding. The fact is, even a place like Iceland, have a band and propose play my music. And Iceland, of course, is their bankrupt country, so they could not have me over, but they asked my music to send it. And I was recently at the Croatia. I go to places, and a couple of years ago I was in Germany. Anyway, all the different parts of the world, they have my music, and they do special concerts just to play my music and invite me over to work my music. And I feel very fortunate, and then I feel very gratified that the people pay attention.
Okay. This is not your first time coming to Telluride. You and Lou have been here before.
Yes, we do. I still remember the first time it was raining like mad.
Who were you playing with the first time?
The first time we went was with a big band.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 17-piece band, and that was a long time ago, and it was raining. And it was, of course, Telluride didn't have the airport. That's the first time. I think Lou's been there one time more than I.
I see. Okay. So let's talk about this time. You're bringing the quartet. You're playing with the Crescent Super Band. What can the Telluride Jazz Celebration audiences expect to hear from you?
Well, I hope basically this one originally was brought me or invited me over to play with the school band, who the band will be playing my music. So I go there to work with these young musicians And that's the main things. And it was the, that was the half of the concert. Then later with the quartet we play. So we share the basically the focus on, I think, the my music. That's the way I understood. So hopefully that is audience will be able to feel something that I have done in a past, you know, it's almost over 6 years.
Yes.
That's, I always feel that the jazz is a very personal music. It's about the life. And then somebody say that, all the musicians say that. And it was, I really agree that, but everyone's life is different. My life experience is different than all the musicians. But it's about the life. It's about your experience. It's about your, hopefully that will convey to the musician, the audience, that they can go home with something and in their heart.
All right. Thank you very much. This has been Susan B. Brock of Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Toshiko Akiyoshi, the guest of honor for the 34th annual Telluride Jazz Celebration. Toshiko, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. And it was wonderful talking with you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.